Well, amen. Well, boys and girls, young and old, and everyone in between, we are thankful today, aren't we, for all the good things that God gives to us. So we are here today not to celebrate farming or the food industry or even our favourite harvest songs or traditions, or even this year to celebrate vaccine research or PPE. But what we're doing is we are celebrating God himself as the giver of all these good things. So did you notice in the psalm that John just read some of the good things that God gives to us? I wonder if anyone here, young or older, can tell me what it is I'm describing. Okay, so this is something that most of us here eat most days. You could have it for breakfast, maybe with butter and jam. You could have it for lunch with ham and cheese and lettuce. You could have it to start dinner, maybe at a posh restaurant with fancy Italian names. Anyone got an idea? Bread, that's right. We're talking about bread. Our psalm says, the streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain. That's what we make bread from. God gives bread. Put your hand up if you had bread this morning. Yes, a good number, probably over half of you. That's the most hands I've ever seen up at Cambray. Bread is a gift from God. Bread is a gift from God. Adults, did you know that 32% of the bread that we produce in this country ends up getting thrown away? And did you know that in 1928, when Otto Rohweider invented the bread slicing machine, people said, that's the best thing since wrap bread, which he also had a hand inventing beforehand. Now, where does the bread in your kitchen come from? Hopefully not the fridge, where apparently it deteriorates faster. Maybe a shop, unless you bake your own. Where does the shop get it from? It gets it from a warehouse where it's stored, a factory where it's processed, a farm where it's grown. But this psalm tells us who gives and cares for the land to make the grain grow. Who waters it? Who sends the rain? Verse 9 of our psalm, God cares for the land. God waters it. God enriches it abundantly. In the New Testament, we're taught that not only does God give us bread, he also gives us our daily bread. He gives us all the food and all the money and all the provision and all the scripture that we need in order to survive. We're also told that he is our bread, giving his flesh on the cross. God gives bread. I wonder if anyone can tell me what I'm describing this time. So these are our two types of food. One is usually green, and the other is usually all sorts of different colours. We're told to eat 5 portions of this a day, but in France they're told to eat 10 portions. Any ideas? Yes, fruit and vegetables. That's right, fruit and veg. God gives us fruit and veg. Our psalm, once again, says, you bless the land's crops, you crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance or even fatness. So, boys and girls, can you imagine a cart that's so full of apples that its wheels break and the wheel tracks get stuck in the ground? There's so many apples there. That's the picture here of how much God blesses us with fruit and vegetables. Who here has got a favourite fruit? Who would like to shout it out in a COVID-secure way? What's your favourite fruit? Mango! Cool. For fruit-based puns, how far will this man go? Yes. What else? Grapes. Oh, we all love some juicy grapes. What's your favourite fruit? Bananas. Apparently, bananas are the most bought and eaten fruit in this country, despite us not growing any ourselves. Any other favourite fruits? Any from the top? Want to shout out a random fruit? It's your only chance. Strawberry. Oh, delicious. Delicious strawberry. Lychee, oh, delicious, lychee. Tropical fruits as well, beautiful. Now, think of all the different fruits and vegetables in this country, like apples and pears and broccoli and carrots. Think of all the fruits that are grown in Israel, where this psalm was written, like pomegranates and dates and figs. Our neighbour's got a fig tree. Think of tropical fruits like lychee and mango and dragon fruit and durian. God gives all these good gifts. God gives all these fruit and vegetables. The New Testament also reminds us of certain other fruits that he wants us to have. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruits of the Spirit. God gives fruit and vegetables. Now, parents, make sure you remind your children of that the next time there's sprouts and they're not eaten at the table. God gives bread. God gives fruit and vegetables. We remember those things at harvest time. And he gives it to us so that we don't starve. Now, did you know that you can use the letters of the word harvest to spell the word starve? When I first came to this church, I knew that this was a church that liked anagrams. When someone came up to me and said, did you know that all the letters of the word Britney Spears can be rearranged into the word Presbyterians? It's true, apparently. So, anagram-loving church, can anyone here tell me another word that you can make out of harvest, also beginning with S, five letters long, a word that tells us what God wants us to do with fruit and vegetables? Share. Very good. Share. S-H-A-R-E. He wants us to share it, which was a reminder to the original readers of this psalm in ancient Israel. To share, not to starve. What else does God give in this psalm? Once again, boys and girls, what am I describing here? This one's a little bit different. Everyone here has got these, and I can see that we've all brought these here this morning. They're different colours, they're different sizes, they're different textures. If you didn't have them, our good friends in the welcome area probably wouldn't let you come in this morning. I say probably. What are we talking about? Face masks, that's true. Think more generally. Clothes, yes, clothes. I hope you wouldn't let someone in if they didn't have these, but, well, that's up to you, I guess. Clothes. This psalm, perhaps indirectly, reminds us that God gives clothes. God clothes us. The grasslands of the desert overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks. Some of our clothes, like woolen jumpers, come from the wool on flocks of sheep. Some come from nylon, some come from a polyester, some come from cotton, or in the case of Lady Gaga, some come from meat. But whatever our clothes are made from, and whoever makes our clothes, we heard about cloth making in Hyderabad earlier, the materials are given by God. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, because clothes are given by God, don't worry about what you'll wear. God clothes the lilies of the field beautifully, and he cares about you even more. So don't worry about clothes. God gives them. God provides for you. So God gives bread. God gives fruit and veg. God gives clothes. But there's something else in this psalm that God gives, something actually even more important than any of these things. Let's read verse 3 from this psalm again. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions, or you made atonement for our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring to live near in your courts. That is accurately, God is the one who delivers us. God is the one who forgives us. Well, delivers us what? If you're still thinking about food, then that's the wrong sort of delivery, despite online food sales increasing triple-fold in lockdown, delivers us, verse 3, from our sin. You see, God's people then and God's people now were not to think of God as the other nations did, only as a God of nature, only as a God of food and of a drink and of raw materials. We also might be tempted to think of God only in those terms at harvest time. But no, we are not a nature club primarily. God gives food and natural resources, yes. But more importantly, God gives us deliverance from our sin. That is, he sorts out the evil and the wrong things in our lives that stop us from having relationship with him. He forgives us and he wipes away the things in our lives that stop us from living in the freedom and the peace of knowing him. The word in verse 3 is actually this word, atonement. Atonement. God gives atonement. That is something that's done to make a wrong right. And for everyone here, young or old, that is an important word to learn and to know at harvest time. Because whilst we don't get any details in here, we know from the New Testament that atonement means Jesus, the Son of God, died on a cross for whoever believes in him, for their sins, and rose again to defeat the powers of this dark world. And whilst thankfulness for harvest is important, atonement for sins cannot be made through a harvest offering, a grain offering, offering God a burnt animal like a bull or a ram or a goat or a male bird. We celebrate these things at harvest, but they cannot make atonement for sin. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can truly and finally atone for sin. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And if you put your trust in him, that means that Jesus is your substitute. He dies instead of you. Your sins are dealt with at the cross when Jesus rose again, defeating sin and defeating death. But without the atonement of the cross, you cannot be forgiven your sins. So God gives bread, God gives fruit and veg, God gives clothes to all, but he gives the special gift of deliverance from sin, the gift of atonement to all those who trust in him and follow him. Well, today we are here to thank God for all his gifts. That's why we are here. But if you are a believer, if you've put your trust in Jesus, you have the privilege of thanking him too for the special gift that's exclusive to you, the gift of deliverance from sin. If you're here and you're not yet a believer, then consider today how your sin can be dealt with, even as we join in our psalm, the meadows and the valleys, in shouting for joy and singing to God in our hearts.